Surf Rock Podcast.
All right. Yeah. So off the top of our heads, which turns out that it was an inside joke by my wife, because, see, that's nice, isn't it? And that was the original one. Off the top of our head, we're all bald. That was the joke. I forgot to curl my mustache today. I probably should have. Maybe I will. I don't know. Anyways, so off the top of our head, it's been kind of a cool series because, at least for me, you know, they bring in the heavy hitters at the end, obviously, to take everything home, which is why Andrew started it. And he started it with a sermon on civil discourse, which basically, how are we going to remain respectful of people we disagree with, which is, I feel like, especially poignant right now since we're all on Facebook and people just aren't nice sometimes and don't know how to have a conversation. And Chad tied into that with his sermon, which was, you know, on the delightful and always fun topic of pain, which was really good because it tied in so much into what I was thinking about, because he brought in the idea of our perspective is that we lean in, push through, and press on. There's always purpose in the pain, right? And as much as we don't want to deal with it, if we understand our identity in Christ, we know that God has our best intentions in mind. So that aspect of identity is huge for us. And how are we reacting to things that are difficult? And how do we interact with God when there is difficult things in our life? So I would like to continue, you know, on the light and fluffy subjects that we've been on and talk about sacrifice. So it's going to be great. It's going to be really fun. Because you want to know who makes sacrifice fun? You ruined my joke, Andrew. Planned that one for like weeks. I didn't. It was just a couple days. But yeah, so we're going to talk about sacrifice and how it relates to our lifestyle of worship. And I'm talking about worship today because, like Andrew said, I am the worship pastor here, the support pastor, and it's a prerequisite by Foursquare bylaws that if I'm ever allowed on stage, that's the only thing I'm allowed to talk about. And I know that there are Foursquare police in attendance. It's Brad, by the way, Brad. So everyone shake his hand and tell him thank you for playing drums really well as being a fantastic policeman. So I am going to talk about that. What we're going to do, basically, just so we have a roadmap, is I'm going to go back to the Old Testament, and we're going to talk about the sacrificial system. We're going to move into the New Testament and talk about Jesus being the culmination of the sacrificial system. And then we're going to go to our lives today and how that relates to sacrifice and how we live a lifestyle of worship. All right? So I've split the sermon into 3 2-hour chunks. And we'll have a delightful lunch in between, maybe a bucket of KFC or something, yeah, with the mashed potatoes. Mm-hmm. It's always good. Always good. Yes, chicken. So last service, I spoke, obviously, and I didn't realize that, I did realize that my printer didn't work, so I had Andrew print out my notes for me, and I didn't realize he printed them out double-sided. So my entire sermon, I was like, but let me tell you guys, we fixed that problem, so I'm on it, okay? So you guys are lucky. You're gonna get the good one. If you could relate what I said to the last people that were at the last service, I'd appreciate it. So we're going to go to the Old Testament. We're going to go to sacrifice. Let's talk about sacrifice for a second. All right, so When God brought the law to the people, he said in Leviticus 17:11, "For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar." It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. So atonement would basically just be the payment for the sin or injury that you've caused, right? So you do the crime, you pay the time, right? I've struggled with this whole idea of sacrifice, in the sense of the actual killing of the animal, of the blood, all those things. I understand that in God's holiness there has to be retribution, there has to be atonement for what's happened, but I don't. There's still things that I don't get it. I don't. And I can say that from the pulpit, from up here, because I feel like I want to make sure that we as a community understand that it's okay not to understand. That if we try to humanize God into something that we fully understand, we've missed the point. God is bigger than that. God is bigger than that, and he has to be. That's why he's God, and we're not. So when we try to have everything figured out, and we say, oh yeah, I totally get that, please don't do that, because you don't. We can't know all the facets of God's nature. We do know that he is always good. Amen? That God is love. So if we go down that road too far where we're like, I've got this all figured out, I know why, there's a long list of animals that had to be killed in a specific way, and I totally get that. We go down this road of almost like dogma, but if we go down and we say, okay, God, that's weird, because most of the Bible is full of stuff where you're like, weird, right? And if we go and we say, okay, God, I understand that Jesus died for my sins and he left the Holy Spirit who lives in me, and I've seen the Holy Spirit move in my life and the lives of others, and I stand on that. That is where there's power. That is where we see God move in our lives. That's where we have our strength, not in understanding everything the Bible says, right? Right? So let's not do that. When people ask us, why did God do this? What, those questions that are so hard to answer, it's okay to say, I don't know. Okay? We have to live like that. It's okay to not understand. That was the first point. Whew. You guys ready for this? It only gets better, I hope. I say to myself. That part wasn't a joke. There was no. What I do know about the sacrifice, what I do understand about the sacrifice, what is important about it is that it leads, it points to, it's culminated by Jesus, right? It's Jesus. That's the point. And I don't get why it lasted for so long before Jesus came, but I know that God has perfect timing, and he lives outside of the time frame that I think things would be appropriate, right? The culmination of the sacrificial system was Jesus Christ, who came to die for us. And we know that by the cross. We know that by the cross. Jesus came when he was on the cross in John 19:30. He said, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And I believe he's saying, I have completed the work that God started with this sacrificial system. And it's important to realize that. And we're going to talk about the actual sacrifice, because as Christians, where we are at now in our time, we look back as Jesus, who saved us, who lives in us, and we come and worship him, right? We worship the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're all there. They're all there. Everything's great. But in this point, where Jesus says, it is finished, Jesus is fully man. Jesus is fully man. And we have to understand that there's a paradox there. There are things that we're not going to understand about a fully God, fully man. But Jesus, as fully man, willingly gave up his life and died a horrible death. And we understand that. And we've all, you know, seen the movie, and we've all heard the Easter sermons that are incredibly graphic and all those things about what happens with crucifixion and what Jesus knew he was getting into. And he did that as a man. So what separates someone sacrificing their life from what Jesus did? Because honestly, there's a long list of people who have given up their life for a cause. And we look to those people, and we look to them for inspiration. There's a whole book called Fox's Book of Martyrs that's like this big. And it's people throughout history who gave up their life for the name of Jesus. He wasn't the only one. He wasn't the only one who gave up his life for a cause. What was different? And it's huge. We can sit there and we think, okay, it's the resurrection. Jesus came back after 3 days being dead. He came back and he visited us on earth and had conversations with people. And for my whole life, it was always like Jesus came back, did a couple things in the Bible, you know, that was written down, and then he was like, bye, right? That's how I looked at it. But when you realize that Jesus was here on earth for a long time, it was days and days and days, and he did a whole bunch of weird stuff while he was here, like walking through walls and walking on water and appearing to people and disappearing, right? I love thinking about how weird all of this is. And I feel like if we lose that sometimes, I feel like we lose the strangeness, the difference, the things that makes all of this different from everything else. We've heard these stories our whole life, and they've become rote. They become, yeah, Jesus walked through the wall and talked to Peter and Paul and walked on water, right? But like, if you were there, you would be freaking out. And how do we hold on to that? We have to hold on to that. We have to hold on to that interest of that is crazy. It's crazy what happened. Obviously, because we're here 2,000 years later, sitting here, listening, talking, singing about what he did. Right? So Jesus died. He died his physical life. He died as a man. He came back and talked to us. That's crazy. But that's not even the biggest difference that happened. What happened in the meantime? What happened after he died, before he came back? Jesus, as fully God and as fully man, went to hell. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made him who had known no sin to be sin. The holiness of God dumped all of the sins of the world onto Jesus, onto his son. And it changed from him being fully God, fully man, into this moment where he went to hell. And what changed everything was that he didn't stay there. He who was no sin was made into sin. He took the sins of the world and he left them in hell. He came back with the keys. This is the God we serve. And there's a paradox in that. How do we understand fully God and fully man? How do we walk in that? And all of this is sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed his life. He sacrificed his Godship. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." And I picked that verse because it says the same thing as it says in 2 Corinthians, but it's quoting something very important. He's quoting Isaiah. He's quoting the Old Testament. He's showing that Jesus was the culmination of all of those animal sacrifices so that we could be in right standing with God. So that we could be in right standing with God, there was those sacrifices. All of those things. Those animals were killed so that if we were in relationship or in communication with God, we weren't instantly dead. We're in right standing. Jesus took our sins, not only so we could be just in right standing, but so that we can be in relationship. We can have the relationship that God desired from the Garden of Eden. Amen? Amen. So we walk in this paradox. There is so much of Christianity. There is so much of what Jesus preached that is a paradox. These things shouldn't line up. We shouldn't worship someone who's fully God and fully man. That's two beings. But it's not. We shouldn't have to live to die or die to live. There's no such thing as the lion and the lamb as one being. But there is. And so how do we walk in that? How are we motivated by that? How do we live a lifestyle of worship and be okay with these paradoxes? It's the most important part of our walk with God. It's the most important part. It's our identity. It's who we are. It's who we see ourselves as in Christ. I know who I am as Josh. And yet, there are times I still struggle with who I am as an heir to God. Paul, when he was talking to Timothy, someone who he was mentoring, someone who he was trying to teach how to lead a church, how to be effective in what he was doing, Paul didn't say, "I've got this all figured out, Tim. Don't worry about it. Just be like me." Paul said, "Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And this is the important part. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And what does Paul say about himself? "I am the worst." Last week, Pastor Chad talked about Apostle Paul and called him Apostle Paul. Because that's how you have to say his name. Apostle Paul. This man changed a continent in his lifetime. This man was part of the greatest movement in the world. It's changed the world for thousands of years. He is the Apostle Paul. And what does he know about himself? What does he understand? In another version it says, "Of whom I am chief." And I liked that because it made me imagine Paul walking around calling people chief and champ, which I think is important for us to realize that he was just a guy. And there were times where he'd walk up and be like, "Hey, champ. Hey, chief." Right? Paul knew himself. Paul understood himself. This guy had to go to bed every night knowing that the Jesus he served was the God of people that he had put to death. He went to sleep with that every night. He talks about his thorn in his flesh. He knew he sinned every day. Paul changed the world. What did you do today? right? Why are we letting ourselves be held back by the fact that we know if there was a list of sinners, I'm at the top. I might not be Paul, I mean, because that guy, right? But I'm up there. Paul identifies as a sinner. I can sit there all day in this knowledge of my sinful nature. Lord knows I know myself enough to know that when I look in the mirror, but we can't stop there. We can't stop there. We can't stay there. We do need to understand, like Paul, that we are sinners saved by grace, and we need Jesus. But also, we need to understand that Paul also wrote to his friends in Rome, in Romans 8, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship." And it's important right here that it says sonship, because the son was the heir. And it's not a gender thing right there. It's saying that when you are led by the Spirit of God and are the children of God, you are the heir of what God has for you. That is your Father. Okay? "And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in what? His glory." Jesus Christ leveled the playing field. Everything is different. There is no longer a need to be in right standing with God. That's not our only requirement, to be sinless by the death of animals. We're now in a different place. God the Father has invited us. He welcomes us. He wants us to be there. He enjoys our company. He likes you and wants you to be as close to him as possible. Because of his holiness, because of his greatness, because he is beyond our understanding, there had to be death. There had to be blood shed to cover us from our sins, those sins that would cause us death. And now, we're covered by what? The blood of Jesus Christ because of his sacrifice. Our ability to be in his presence has changed. So I like Paul, evidently, because all of my information is from him. Actually, I think Paul's weird a lot of times. I don't understand him. I think he'd be really hard to get along with, to be honest. He seems really intense. So, I told you I would talk about worship. So I will. How do we live a lifestyle of worship with that understanding? The sacrifice of the Old Testament culminated in the blood of Jesus Christ, allowing us to be in relationship with God. God's not asking for you to sacrifice anything. Like, please don't go out and sacrifice animals or anything, okay? That's not what I'm saying. Everybody on the same page? Thank you. This is important. So Paul sums it up nicely for our lifestyle of worship with another paradox. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Paul is asking us to be a living sacrifice. Sacrifice in this context being animals killed and given to the temple. He's also saying at this point, be alive also. Dead animals, alive, you're a person. Right? We've heard Living Sacrifice all our life. It was one of my favorite hardcore bands back in the day. It's great. But it's weird. How do we do this? How do we live this life of a living sacrifice as it regards to our lifestyle of worship? Because worship cannot just be the last two songs on a Sunday morning. It's not. It can't be. That leads us to shallowness and emptiness. We want relationship, and so we live in a lifestyle of worship. So what do we do? How do we do this? What does this involve? Those are a lot of questions. I'll answer some of them. Paul goes on in this same chapter in Romans 12. And he starts talking about gifts. He's talking about living sacrifice, giving up all of these things. And I don't think it's a mistake that these are so close together. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Okay, a list of gifts and living sacrificially. How do we do that? How do those tie together? Can I tell you guys something? I know that God has given me a gift to lead worship. I know it. I know that I am called to be here and be a part of this community. I know it. That's one of my gifts that God has given me. I don't sleep the night before I lead worship. Because if I'm standing up here and I am not allowing myself to live, to be involved, to be holding on to the mystery of the fact that I am a sinner, saved by grace. But I'm not also holding on to the fact that I am a son of God, an heir to the kingdom, and I am not walking in that authority, in that power, in the strength that God is giving me. What am I doing? And the thing is, worship might be the gift that God has given me, but there was a whole list here of things that God has given us that He gave us for a purpose to do. You have gifts that God gave you, and it's really easy not to use them. Because if I'm standing up here, like I said, and I am holding on to who I am, it's very vulnerable. When we are using our gifts, it's vulnerable. These are the things that come from our soul. It's the very essence of us. And it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to use them. So what if, by living sacrificially, God's just asking you to use what He gave you, to walk in who you really were created to be? And it is a sacrifice. It is hard. Because not only do I know I'm a sinner, I know I'm not the best guitar player or bass player. I've met me. The fact that Ethan is, what, like a teenager and wails on the bass makes me mad. He's so good. Actually, you want to come up? So living out our gifts and living sacrificially is just a part of what Jesus asks us to do. It's just a part of who God is. It's just a part. But I think it's huge. And I think it will change everything about how we relate, who we are, when we step out, knowing full well that we are sinners. When if we step out and do what God asked us to do, because not only are we sinners, but we are also living in that paradox of our identity, that we are powerful. We are powerful. We are. There is so much we are capable of. And the only thing holding us back is the fact that we are vulnerable. And the thing that can hurt us the most. So as we sing this last song, God's been bringing to mind things to you. Things that are sacrificial. Things that should be sacrificed. And it's not like, okay, God, here you go, thanks. Oh, great sermon, Josh. It's not going to work like that. There is a process. There is a process, because using your gifts and putting yourselves in a place where you can be vulnerable, it takes Jesus. It takes his sacrifice. It takes being in the presence of God and having your heart changed. And that's worship. Amen? So as we sing, go ahead and stand up. I'll come back in just a minute. Just encourage you. What's God asking you to sacrifice? Where's God asking you to go? What's he asking you to do? So there is always going to be mystery. There is always going to be a part that we don't understand. But there is the blessed assurance. And there always will be. And there always will be. We don't have to understand. We don't have to understand everything. But what we do have is the Holy Spirit living in us, providing counsel, providing wisdom, providing joy, where it never should be. That's the promise Jesus gave us. And if you look at one thing in the Bible, look at Jesus. Stand in that assurance that yes, our God is good and our God is love, and we may not be able to see everything that he sees, and we may not know everything he knows, but what we do know is he will get us through everything. So we're going to pray the prayer we pray every week. And if you need assurance in the mystery, pray this like you mean it. And if this is the first time you've prayed this, please let us know. We would love to talk with you. We have people to pray with if you need prayer. And we also have a packet we'd like to give you that'll just help you on the start of your journey. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life, and I give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, following you in water baptism, in that word. In Jesus' name, I pray and trust. Amen? Amen. Our God is good. You guys have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.